Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living School Watch. Listen to the nation's education guru, former educator for over 30 years. Tonight's show will be about education bills and process in the California legislature. Tonight is May 2nd, 2012. Call-in number is 1-877-497-9937. Or you can call 818-394-8537. Tell your friends you can listen to archive shows at blogtalkradio.com/Diane-Lenning. Wednesday of each month is regarding education issues. Second Wednesday we have learning English for Thai speakers. The third Wednesday is for Lao speakers. The fourth Wednesday for Chinese. And we are beginning Friday night special. Friday night specials have started with Swahili. And English, of course. Starting in 1 minute. Oh, Toll-free number is 1-877-497-9937. Thank you, Beethoven, for that wonderful piece. I love classical. May God bless all that we do here tonight. And that's Beethoven. Welcome to Linning School Watch. This is your host, Diane Linning. We're so glad you're with us here tonight. I see I do have my executive producer on the line, and I'll bring her on with us after I read the first bill. What we're going to do tonight is look at education bills in process in the California State Legislature. And this is May 2nd, 2012. I had the great honor of speaking to three of these in the hearings last month in Sacramento. And the first one I'm going to start with is the one that I spoke at the Dye with Assemblymember Donnelly. The ones I'm going to try to look at tonight are AB 2546 about pupil instruction, social sciences, instructional materials, and AB 1662 by Fong about county boards of education, and 3 AB 1967 authored by John Perez, Speaker, regarding pupil instruction, health and science education, organ and tissue donation. If I get to more, so be it, but I do want to hold it to about an hour tonight. On the first bill, many of you might recall that I campaigned on trying to get some kind of coursework or curriculum regarding teaching the Constitution more specifically within our schools. And so I was greatly honored to join Assemblymember Donnelly at the Dye last month in speaking to the committee. The Assembly Committee on Education is chaired by Julia Brownlee. Now, the subject, again, is pupil instruction, social sciences, instructional materials. In the summary, it requires instruction in the social sciences also to include the development of democracy and the history of the development of the United States, U.S. Constitution, and requires specified historical documents be included in the history social science framework. Specifically, the bill adds the Magna Carta, the Articles of Confederation, and the California Constitution to the historical documents that are required to be incorporated into the history social science framework, which also includes, of course, the U.S. Constitution, and requires these documents to be incorporated based on the subject matter of the course. Now, I will note here that the committee did make an amendment and Donnelly did agree. So this bill has been moved forward to the Appropriation Committee. We were glad to hear that. It was a unanimous vote. Secondly, it requires instruction in the social sciences also to include the development of democracy and the history of the development of the United States. These are items that I deemed very important as a history educator myself, very important for the instruction of our kids that the principles of democracy be passed on from each generation to the next. Third, it deletes the condition that the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States, this is the part that they amended, I believe, because they wanted it in. So we'll skip that part. And fourth, it requires a classroom in which history or social sciences is taught to have access to a copy of the California Constitution. Now, as many of you know, I attended public school here in California many years ago with the good fortune when California was number one in the nation in education. And although we may have briefly looked at the California Constitution, I do not remember looking at it in detail. So I think that's a good idea, because what I have found and surveys have shown is that the large majority of the population after high school has a low level of understanding about the processes of how government works. So I think it's important that we apply greater focus of the processes of government and the understanding of democracy and how and why we became a democracy for the future of our kids and our country. The existing law requires the Instructional Quality Commission to ensure that the following historical documents are incorporated as appropriate into the History Social Science framework: the Declaration of Independence, the United States Constitution, including the Bill of Rights, the Federalist Papers, the Emancipation Proclamation, the Gettysburg Address, and George Washington's Farewell Address. It requires instruction in social sciences for grades 7 to 12 inclusive to provide a foundation for understanding the history, resources, development, and government of California and the United States of America. It requires the governing board of a school district, when adopting instructional materials for use in the schools, to require that, when appropriate, the comprehension of pupils that textbooks for social sciences, history, or civics classes contain the Declaration of Independence and the United States Constitution. The fiscal effect is unknown, but from my personal experience, I think that this would not impact the financial expenses, because all of these documents are available to educators very easily without cost. Now, comments are that this bill mandates instruction in the social sciences to include the development of democracy and the history of the development of the United States. That is very important, because, and also a republic, I think it means synonymously there. Technically, we are a republic with democratic concepts and ideals. The education code already requires instruction in social science to include instruction in the state and federal constitutions. Additionally, one of the three main goals of the framework is to promote democratic understanding and civic values. Civic values would include participation of citizens in their communities, county, state, and federal, participation in support of candidates who run for office, hopefully in supporting those of which they agree with their platform, issues, or agenda. To this end, the content standards and framework already include various areas of instruction on democracy and the U.S. Constitution. Some of these standards are found in both elementary and secondary grade levels. Some examples include the discussion of what the U.S. Constitution is and why it's important, and understanding the purpose of the California Constitution, its key principles, and its relationship to the United States Constitution. Secondly, a description of people and events associated with the development of the U.S. Constitution, and analyze the Constitution's significance as the foundation of the American Republic, Standard 5.7. Sorry, the first one was Standard 4.5, if you're writing these down. Third, a discussion in the meaning of the American Creed that calls on citizens to safeguard the liberty of individual Americans within a unified nation, to respect the rule of law, and to preserve the Constitution, Standard 5.7.5. Fourth, an understanding of the major events preceding the founding of the nation and relate their significance to the development of American constitutional democracy, Standard 8.1. Five, an analysis of the political principles underlying the United States Constitution and compare the enumerated and implied powers of the federal government, Standard 8.2. I think that is an area right there. Understanding the enumerated implied powers and the political principles of the Constitution can be stressed much more heavily within coursework in public schools and schools across the board. Additionally, the grade 12 standards revolve around the principles of American democracy, starting with Standard 12.1, which requires students to explain the fundamental principles and moral value of American democracy as expressed in the U.S. Constitution and other essential documents of American democracy. Secondly, this bill adds to the list of required documents to be incorporated in the framework. I believe I might have mentioned these earlier, but the Magna Carta, the Articles of Confederation, and the California Constitution. The adopted framework already includes 7 references to the Magna Carta, 3 references to the Articles of the Confederations, and 3 to the California Constitution. But in the consideration that the framework already includes much of the content required by this bill, the need for this bill might be questionable, but I agree that it is necessary because it brings greater strength to the stresses that need to be incorporated and taught. As a teacher in public schools for years and teaching these areas, many of these areas were sometimes overlooked or scanned or set aside because of lack of time to cover a whole textbook. So if we make a focus that these are required, then hopefully teachers would not delete them because sometimes they have that discretion. Okay, so I'm not going to read that next part. It was part that was amended by the committee. So let's see. Lastly, this bill requires a classroom in which history or social science is taught to have access to a copy of the California Constitution. History, social science may be taught in kindergarten and grades 1 through 12 inclusive. Hence, this bill is imposing a mandate for almost every classroom to have a copy of the California Constitution. And I think that's a good idea because, as I've said before, surveys show that postgrads of high school have a very low level of understanding of political processes, and it would be good to start with one's own state. The author of the bill states that availability of works such as Magna Carta, Articles of Confederation, and the California Constitution are integral or important to the broader understanding of the development and maintenance of both our state and our union as a whole. That's true because they are interrelated. With the passage of this bill, they too will be included in the framework of social science curriculum where appropriate. The proposed legislation will make sure that the essential spirit of liberty shall be preserved in the youth of our state as it shines through the documents that are the cornerstone of our democracy. That's an important point that our young people understand the meaning of our republic, which is explained through our constitutions and how it works. Related legislation, AB 1756 by Knight, eliminates the requirement for instruction in social sciences to include the early history of California and a study of the role and contributions of both men and women, Native Americans, African Americans, Mexican Americans, Asian Americans, Pacific Islanders, European Americans, lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender Americans, persons with disabilities, and members of other ethnic and cultural groups, to the economic, political, and social development of California and the United States, with particular emphasis on portraying the role of these groups in contemporary society, and instead makes these provisions permissive. That is a related bill, not the same one, but it's somewhat related in that it talks about our republic and our democratic principles and our documents, etc. So, of course, I supported this, and I had written a letter, but it wasn't in time to get it listed on this document. But I did write a letter in support of it. And, in fact, the whole education committee did vote in support of it and passed it, and it moved on happily to the Appropriations Committee with an amendment, which we agreed with. So with that, if you have any questions or comments, you can email me at diane@lenning.com, and I'd be happy to give you either where to find the answer or a short capsule of a possible answer that might help you. So with this, we're going to take a break for a few minutes, and you might let some of that information sink in. Remember, this is archived, so you can go back and refer to it. That's one reason I read it quickly. So So we'll take a little break here, and we'll be back shortly. Back in a moment, and we will be discussing AB 1662 by Fawn County Boards of Education members. Okay, we are back with you. This is Diane Lenning, your host. We're talking about education bills tonight in process in the California legislature. We're going to be looking now at AB 1662 by Fong, as introduced February 14, 2012. The subject is County Boards of Education, its members. The summary, it makes an employee of a school district eligible to be a member of a county board of education. Now, I'm thinking from my perspective, just so you are aware, as an educator for over 30 years, I'm wondering how I would feel about this personally as an educator, about the idea of to be or not to be a member of a county board of education. And I might tell you from my perspective that personally, I believe that someone who has been an educator is probably going to be very highly qualified or more qualified than the average person to be on the Board of Education. And that might be a little different than what the governor, Gray Davis, about 12, 13 years ago stated. So we'll see here. It might be a little controversy in this one. The existing law, one, prohibits an employee of a local agency, including local education agencies, from being a member of the governing board or legislative body of that agency. This is current law. So as it exists right now, someone who's an educator couldn't be on that board. Two, it prohibits a county superintendent of schools or any member of his or her staff or any employee of a school district from being a member of the county board of education. Which, we'll see why that is. It's interesting here. Three, prohibits a local agency officer, defined to include governing board members, from engaging in any employment that is inconsistent, incompatible, or in conflict with, or inimical to his or her duties as a local agency officer. Incompatibility of office doctrine. I think what that's really implying is more of a conflict of interest or arm's length. I find the incompatibility of office doctrine just might be a little bit different here. I think this is an interesting subject because it's not inconsistent if you're an educator and you want to be on this board. It's consistent. It's in a field of your expertise and knowledge. So wouldn't you want a medical doctor on a medical board? In fact, I think it's required that you have to be a medical doctor to be on a medical board. So I find this is interesting. It's not incompatible because it is the area of expertise of the person as an educator. It's not in conflict with their time because board meetings are after hours, and we've been told we can do in our after hours what we choose. It's our free time to choose. Or inimical to his or her duties as a local agency officer. I don't know about that either. Okay, the fiscal effect. The bill is keyed non-fiscal, which I agree with that. Comment, this bill would allow school district employees, including classified employees, teachers, and administrators, to serve on county boards of education. County boards of education and county superintendents of schools have various oversight responsibilities over schools within their jurisdiction, including one, serving as appellate bodies for decisions made by school district governing boards regarding pupil suspensions and expulsions and charter school proposals. Two, reviewing school district budgets and certifying them as positive, qualified, or negative. Three, exercising increased authority over the adoption of the district budget for districts that have a qualified or negative budget certification, or that have an outstanding emergency loan from the state. Four, monitoring school district compliance with the settlement in the case of Williams versus California with respect to equal access to instructional materials, safe and decent school facilities, and qualified teachers. Well, number three here, in which the districts have a qualified or negative budget certification, or that have an outstanding emergency loan from the state, if that were the district from which the teacher on the board is an educator, it might be a perceived conflict of interest. But just like in the Supreme Court, when you've worked on a case before, you recuse yourself on that particular decision. When people are ethical, that's usually what they do. Moving on, prior legislation, similar legislation, AB 1212, Thompson, was vetoed in 1999 by Governor Gray Davis. His veto message read, this bill would violate the common law rule against the holding of incompatible offices. Okay, common law rule is sort of like traditional law. It might not be statute. So to me, that intimates a possible gray area. we'll think about that. So, against the holding of incompatible offices, he says, the purpose of this rule is to disallow a person from holding two or more offices in which he or she is in a position in one office to review and approve his or her actions in the other office, and to disallow the holding of offices wherein his or her duties and loyalties are incompatible. However, you're not in an office when you're a teacher. You're in employment. So it's a matter of employment. Just like you're employed as a doctor, and then you run to be on the medical doctors, various boards. I don't know how many are elected or appointed, but it's a similar analogy here. So I'm not so sure that I agree with Greg Davis's veto, but we'll move along here. County boards of education have jurisdiction over several areas, which would present such a conflict, such as fiscal oversight, budgeting, student discipline, and transfer. Well, there are dozens of districts within, say, Orange County, for instance, and it would be rare if it's a case from which the district you're an educator. And if there's a perceived conflict, the person can recuse themselves. Moreover, I note that current law prohibits school district employees from being elected or appointed members of their school district governing boards. For this reason, I cannot support this measure. I find that interesting because when we lived in an Orange County city, one of the educators was my neighbor, was also on the school board. So I'm wondering in practice if that is correct. Anyway, that was Gray Davis's rationale for veto. So now this is being brought up again. Arguments in support, the proponents argue that the prohibition against public school employees serving on a county board of education is unconstitutional. I would tend to agree with that because it denies people a right to run for office, but we'll see. And they cite two court decisions to support this position. The first is California Supreme Court decision in Bagley versus Washington Township Hospital District, 65 Cal 2nd 499, 501, 1966, in which the court ruled that only a compelling public interest can justify the imposition of restraints upon the political activities of public employees. Whoa, I'm stumbling because that makes me think of another way we might apply that. In the second case, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled in Davies versus Grossmont Union High, which is in San Diego area, et al., 1391, that a legal settlement agreement cannot prohibit a person from running for office. Well, that's pretty strong. Two pretty strong cases there. Although neither of these decisions deal directly with employees on public boards, proponents argue that they establish the ability to seek and hold public office as a fundamental right that can only be abridged because of compelling public interest. Now you might think, what is compelling public interest? Well, we'll think about that and hope they address it. If not, maybe I'll come up with something here. Okay, so that's the byword here, compelling public interest. The potential for conflict of interest is not compelling, they argue, because such conflicts are rare. That's what I was saying before I even read this. And when a conflict arises, the member can recuse himself. Just like I was thinking. Okay. In addition, supporters argue that classified school employees should be allowed to serve on county boards of ed because they can offer unique insight of operations of our schools to provide a clean, safe learning environment when all the necessary services to help our students succeed can be provided. Well, they said classified, but I think certified too. Classified are those who are not teachers, like secretaries, maintenance personnel, aides, those kind of personnel. Arguments in opposition. Opponents argue that despite the ability of the board member to recuse him or herself from a vote, the county board has a tremendous amount of oversight of school districts that could result in compromising some of the most important work the county board conducts. I'd like to know how. I hope they state that. In addition, the potential for conflicts could result in the school employee county board member recusing themselves from a fair amount of decisions facing the board, which would limit their input and voice of the voters. As a recusal essentially counts as a no vote, and a majority vote of the entire board is still needed to approve any actions, this could complicate things further if there are absent members. Well, as a comment here, that happens all the time. Many boards have people absent when they're voting in all levels of government. And in, like I said, on the Supreme Court, we have many cases currently where one of the Supreme Court justices has been advised to recuse herself. And because of working on cases before, that just happens. That's part of life. So why should a person be extremely limited to not be allowed to participate in government because of that? That's a question you ponder and weigh as to what you believe is best. Committee amendments. Proponents of this bill argue that potential conflicts of interest can be resolved through recusal. However, this will not work if a majority of the county board of education members are school districts. That may or may not be true. Maybe only if a majority are from the same one or two school districts, because there are many school districts in the county. Under this bill, a majority of board members could be school district employees, and they could even be from the same district. In such a case, the board would be unable to take any action at all where a conflict of interest is present, which that would be a slim situation, but it is an elusive possibility. To prevent this, as well as to avoid violating the doctrine of incompatibility of office, staff recommends that the bill be amended to allow only employees of school districts that are not within the jurisdiction of the county office to serve as that county's Board of Education. So you'd have to serve in another county? I have to think about that a minute. Let me read that again. Staff recommends that the bill be amended to allow only employees of school districts that are not within the jurisdiction of the county office. Oh, well, let me give an example. Say you live in L.A. County and you work in a school there, but you live in Orange County. You could run for Orange County Board of Ed. But I'm wondering, if you live in L.A. County and work in L.A. school districts, if you could run for Orange County Board of Education. I don't think anybody mentioned that. We'll see. Because I think we should have a residence requirement of having to live within the county jurisdiction of the Board of Education of which you run. We'll see if they look at the residence requirement. I do see where it may work if a person lives in Orange County but works in a school in LA County and they can run for Orange County Board of Ed. But then I wonder, too, if they could run for L.A. County Board of Ed. I hope they clarify these issues. Oh, it doesn't look like it. So that might be something we want to discuss with the hearing committee and have follow-up. I would suggest that, where you ask those questions of residents and whether it has like reciprocity of living in one district and running for County Board of Ed in another because you work in the other. We need to clarify those issues. Those in support of this bill are California School Employees Association, and in fact, that's the sponsor. California Federation of Teachers, CFT, and American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, AFL-CIO, and the California Labor Federation, and the Services Employee International Union, California, SEIU. And the opposition is the Association of School Administrators, unless amended. Yes, I think it needs some amendments. And those of you who are listening, I hope, will help in suggesting that. Also in opposition is the California School Boards Association, CSBA, the California County Superintendent Educational Services Association, CCSESA, and Kenneth Young, Riverside County Superintendent of Schools, unless amended. This analysis was prepared by Rick Pratt, who has an ED. Well, that was much more interesting than I thought it was going to be, and much more important than I thought it was going to be. So you never know by looking at the title of a bill just how important it is. So I hope anybody who's listening will help us follow up on this. I think tonight I'm going to have time for one more bill, so we'll take a quick break and listen to a little music, and I will be back. The next one will be AB 1967, Speaker Perez's Pupil Instruction, Health and Science Education, about organ and tissue donation. Shows are archived, so you can refer back to by logging in to blogtalkradio.com/Diane-Binning, and the titles of the shows are the first week of the month starting education. Thank you. we're back. This is Diane Linney, your host. We're going to be discussing AB 1967 by Perez, speaker, as amended April 9th, 2012. This subject is pupil instruction, health education, organ and tissue donation. Now, as a former driver ed and science teacher, I think I have a particular background to comment on this one as well. And I do hope that people will tell others who are on the hearing committees to listen to my comments, because I think it could be helpful to them to hear from an educator's experience in the actual situation in which they're writing curriculum. Now, the summary here requires the Curriculum Development and Supplemental Materials Commissions, the CDSMC, and the State Board of Education, SBE, to ensure the health and science frameworks adopted in the course of the next submission cycle include the subject of organ procurement and tissue donation. Now, I know for many that presents a moral dilemma. And I will say that I did speak to this one at the hearing, but it had to be short. But I did say I believed it did present a moral dilemma, and we would like assurances that since it looked like it was going to pass, and it probably will, since the chair, Julia Brownlee, during the meeting said she would happily co-author it with the speaker, which I wondered about that, as in being a conflict of interest in her position. She's, you know, if she wants to, fine, but I was just concerned about the conflict there, that it presenting a moral dilemma, and also there is a law about you cannot sell organs, and I think we want to keep a demarcation here between pointing in that direction. And I know it's a wonderful thing to give life to many because of organs donated by others. In fact, my cousin lived 35 years on the heart of another who was killed. So I know it's an important and valuable method to give ongoing life for many who would live with a good organ for their particular case. So the moral dilemma is two for me. The first one being that kids are underage, and I would not want this idea to be glorified, that it's something they should all do, because I don't have any personal particular religious belief about this, but there may be some who do, and I would not to infringe upon that belief. And I know that most educators teach things in an objective way, but in the last 20 years, I've observed firsthand more and more that some teachers do not teach in an objective way, and they, in fact, teach their agenda, which is what concerns me, is are teachers going to teach this as a part of their political agenda? Now, I know it likely wouldn't be, and if it's written well in the textbook, but here is another area we're going to have oversight to make sure it does not exude or permeate out of the parameters of good sense and good judgment. So, that said, they passed it, and of course I did not have any great objection, but I was just bringing this up for thought. They had a long line of people from the organization who had apparently submitted it. Let me see if they're listed here. They handed me their information. I think it might be either the California Transplant Donor Network or the Donate Life California. One of these groups gave me their information, which I appreciated. The other dilemma is that educators are rarely given opportunity to have input in these bills, and I was only up there on other business and happened to go to this, and I'm retired. So I could go speak to education issues as a science educator, driver ed educator, and someone who would have impacted me if I was still teaching. I think we need to incorporate the viewpoints of educators more often. We so often feel left out in the cold and more or less sometimes quasi-victims of the legislation, there we go, that is passed down to us from time to time. So the existing law declares that legislative intent that an adequate health education program in the public schools is essential to continued progress and improvement in the quality of public health in this state. Well, I agree with that. We do want increased and good quality of public health, and that comprehensive health education taught by properly trained person is effective in the prevention of disease and disability. Now, there's an area we could pursue in improving the curriculum, because I don't see much demonstrated in how people can personally care for themselves to prevent disease. We have a lot of self-prevention ideas that are not being practiced by young people today that I observed. Many overweight, many with diabetes, so we have a higher incidence of overweight, diabetes, and other deficits due to whatever we don't know, but it might be connected to one's personal maintenance and hygiene. 2, defines comprehensive health education programs as all educational programs offered in kindergarten and grades 1 to 12 in the public school system designed to ensure that pupils will receive instruction to aid them in making decisions in matter of personal, family, and community health. I agree with that. It is merely to aid them in making their own decisions, concluded using critical thinking skills. And fortunately, within the last 10 years, before I retired, I was able to write critical thinking skills goal that heretofore had not been in the school's curriculum in its existence of over 40 years. So I think we need to stipulate that sound principles of teaching critical thinking skills should be in our curriculum. Now, as a history educator in my major, we were taught how to teach that in history. But somehow, much of that has gone by the wayside. 3, requires the State Board of Education to adopt content standards in the curriculum area of health education based on the recommendations of the Superintendent of Public Education. Well, that's okay as long as there is room for recommendations from others. We'll see here. Okay, 4, requires the State Board of Education, SBE, to adopt revised science content standards by July 30th, 2013, as specified in Ed Code 60605.85. So if you want to look that up again, it's Ed Code 60605.85. Requires a pupil to complete at least the following numbers of courses in the subject specified, each course having a duration of 1 year, while in grades 9 through 12 inclusive, in order to receive a diploma of graduation from high school. This is the existing law. 3 courses in English, so that's usually the freshman through junior year, most often. 2 in math, usually 9 and 10, grade 9 and 10, but not always. 2 courses in science, including biological and physical sciences, but they have a general sciences or earth sciences course, which I taught both of those, that is allowed in place of the more difficult biological and physical science courses, but they qualify under that area of science. You know, the one is biological and the other is physical sciences, earth sciences. But they're a little less difficult course. Or there are three courses in social studies, including United States history and geography, world history, culture, and geography, a one-semester course in American government and civics, and a one-semester course in economics. I taught most of those. Some of them could use some renewal or invigoration of improvement in the text. Five, one course in visual or performing arts, foreign language, or commencing with the 2012-13 school year career technical education per Ed Code 51225.3. Okay, now performing arts, that's interesting to me that they give you a choice of a performing art or foreign language. Performing arts is like band, chorus, drama, or you could take foreign language, and they're totally different kinds of courses, but you can choose from those. And then the fiscal effect, according to the Assembly Appropriations Committee, for a similar bill, potential general fund, GF, administrative costs, likely between $200,000 and $700,000 to the State Department of Ed, CDSMC, to complete the requirements of this measure. This assumes a portion of all the Commission's funding is restored to complete the development of the health curriculum framework as specified. The governor vetoed all GF funding for the CDSMC in 2009, and funding has not been restored. You might not have caught there that there is a health requirement, at least for the high schools where I taught. Let me see if that's district or state requirement, where you have a health course. I wonder what they consider that under. Anyway, our school, it must have been a district requirement, required a quarter in health and driver ed. Okay. Now, comments. This bill requires the Curriculum Development and Supplemental Materials Commission, CDSMC, and the State Board of Education, SBE, to ensure the health and science frameworks adopted in the course of the next submission cycle include the subject of organ procurement and tissue donation. Electing to be an organ donor. Currently, there are two ways to register as an organ donor in California. First is each application for a renewal or new driver's license or identification card is a place for the applicant to indicate if he or she wants to be an organ donor. If the person affirms his desire, the pink donor dot symbol is pre-printed on the driver's license or identification card. Second, the Donate Life California website provides a way to register as an organ donor online. And they must be the one who wrote this bill. I was mentioning a while ago, I wasn't sure which one. And I might note, since I've experienced this personally, that when you have a terminally, a person hospitalized for, say, an accident or something that is going to cause their imminent death, the hospitals are there to see if the family is willing to allow organ donations. So really, there is a third mechanism that is in place if the person goes through a hospital. According to Donate Life California, there are more than 100,000 people in the national organ transplant waiting list, more than 21,000 of whom live in California. Nationwide, approximately 18 people die each day awaiting for life-saving organ transplant, and a new name is added to the national waiting list every 13 minutes. One donor can save up to 8 lives. Well, that's an interesting aspect that people should be aware of. And one tissue donor can improve lives for up to 50 others. Nationwide, minorities represent 49% of organ transplant candidates and more than 60% of kidney transplants. In California, Latinos make up 32% of those waiting for life-saving transplants. Asian Pacific Islanders, 16%, and African Americans, another 14. So who's left? We've got 33, 16, and 14. That's only 62%. So we have about 38% of others. Okay? Health education standards and graduation requirements. Neither the health education standards nor the framework include any information about organ procurement or tissue donation. The health curriculum framework was scheduled to be revised to align it to the 2008 health standards, but due to fiscal situation in the state and resulting budget actions, the development of curriculum frameworks and adoption of instructional materials has been suspended until the 2015-16 school year. AB 2 times 4, Chapter 2, Statutes 2X4, Chapter 2. Statutes of 2009-10, Fourth Extraordinary Session, prohibits the SBE from adopting or following any procedures to adopt instructional materials, including following the procedures related to the framework development, through the 2012-13 school year. The recently enacted education budget trailer, SB 70, Budget Committee Chapter 7, Statutes of 2011, extends this prohibition to the 2015-16 school year. The revision and adoption of health framework may be several years away, given the existing fiscal challenges. Despite the delay in the adoption of health framework, the committee should consider whether it's important to include organ and tissue donation in the next revision of the health framework. California does not require the completion of health course as a condition for graduation of high school, but I might add that some districts do. Districts are authorized to offer health ed courses to students and may require them to complete health education coursework as a district graduation requirement. According to Donate Life, since 2006, more than 80 California high schools have voluntarily hosted donation presentations in their classrooms. A number of recent bills have sought to amend the curriculum standards and frameworks, and some have required instruction in a particular subject matter, like this bill requires. Because the education code is permissive, districts can offer health education already, and many, if not most, already do offer health education in high school. So this seems a natural fit for this curriculum, which I agree, if it's agreed that people want to include it and it can be assured that it is taught in an objective manner, and when kids will not feel that it is presented in a glorified way that, or a coercive way, or that might be the thing to do or make them feel like they have to do it. It should be decided according to their own decision-making skills. Science education standards and graduation requirements. The science education standards nor the framework include information about organ procurement or tissue donation. SB 300, Hancock, Chapter 624, Statutes of 211 require the science curriculum standards to be revised by July 30, 2013, so there may be a revision of the standards in the near future. The science curriculum framework was scheduled to be updated in 2010, but due to the fiscal situation in the state and resulting budget actions, the development of curriculum framework and adoption of instructional materials has been suspended until the 2015-16 school year, as noted above. The revision and adoption of science framework may be several years away. Okay, since I taught all of these, health, science, and driver ed, it would be my recommendation as an educator that you do not include this in the science framework. Science curriculum is so heavily impacted, over-impacted currently, that I don't know how they can fit another thing in. And when you fit something in like this in a book, it's usually going to take a chapter. They feel it's got to take a chapter. And so that's another whole week of study that an educator has to make new lesson plans and either decide to shorten it or exclude something else that might really be more scientifically important to learn as far as science goes. So I would recommend, if this is passed, I'm not saying I necessarily agree it should be passed, but if it is passed, that it would be better to choose between health or driver ed. And actually, I would prefer driver ed because that is also the location where you sign on the card when you get your license. And that would be an easy input for a driver ed teacher to just mention that in their classwork, and it wouldn't take a whole chapter or a whole week to discuss it. But it would just be more of an awareness issue for kids to know that that possibility is there and to start thinking about what it would mean if they did decide to do that. High school students are required to complete 2 years of science as a graduation requirement, and it's unclear which science disciplines are more appropriate for a discussion on organ procurement or tissue donation. Personally, they say here it may be appropriate in biology, but maybe not appropriate in physics or chemistry. Therefore, the committee should consider whether to amend the bill to clarify that the science framework should have this topic included as appropriate. I don't think it will fit very handily into the science framework because you have two categories. You have the biological and the physical sciences. And the physical ones usually include like chemistry and physics, which I had, and the biological are more what someone might need going into the medical profession. But they have general science courses, and they have earth science courses. And these kind of courses, it might be okay, but like I say, you're not going to get as broad a coverage as if you do it in driver ed, where every kid wants to get his driver's license and is going to take a driver ed course. And usually most districts require a quarter in driver ed. So you're going to get 100% coverage in a course that is a natural fit because that is where you teach about taking the driver's license and where you sign if you want to be a donee. It just fits there more naturally, logically. So that would be my recommendation if this does pass, having been an educator and teaching in all of those areas, and knowing that the science curriculum is much more difficult and it's highly impacted, and science really needs 2 or 3 more weeks at least to be able to possibly think about getting through most of the science book. So if anything, science classes need more time, not more curriculum. What other states are doing? Several other states either require or authorize instruction on organ donation to high school students in health education courses or students in driver training courses. These states include Illinois, Wisconsin, Iowa, New Mexico, Texas, Oklahoma, Minnesota, Virginia, Arkansas, North Carolina, Indiana, Ohio, Washington, New Jersey, and Louisiana, or Louisiana, as they say. So here, all those states agree with me. I would say my first choice would be driver ed, second health, and third science. But, you know, maybe not even science, just driver ed or health. It should fit in one of those two. I hope someone's listening, or people can steer legislative members to listen to my viewpoint here. Committee amendment. Staff recommends the bill be amended to clarify that the subject of organ procurement and tissue donation be included in the science framework as appropriate, so that it is clear that all science disciplines must have this topic included in the framework. I would favor not including it in the science framework at all. I would favor just listing it in either health or driver education as an amendment. So I hope that those who agree with me will lobby the legislature and ask them to make an amendment that it either be in health, preferably first driver ed, or health secondary in that list of prioritization. Arguments in support. Intermountain Donor Services supports the bill and argues the goal of AB 1967 is to educate California students with the importance of organ and tissue donation so that they are able to make informed decisions about registering an organ and tissue donors when asked this mandatory question on their driver's license form. There again, that supports why it should be in the driver ed course. Better education about organ and tissue donation will lead to increasing the number of donor registrations, with the result that the lives of more Californians can be saved and healed through organ and tissue transplants. So my point of contention is with that they've written it apparently to be included in science, and I would prefer that not be included. I would prefer it be in driver ed first, or possibly health second. Only one or the other, not both. Arguments in opposition. California Right to Life opposes this bill and argues AB 1967 is based on the findings that there are 21% Californians on the organ waiting list and only 18% drivers identifying themselves as organ donors. Students are a captive audience, exactly my point when I spoke, and they should not be impacted by an emotionally presented curriculum. That's what I meant by presents a moral dilemma. When students do qualify for their driver's licenses, they will have adequate time to make informed choices and consider becoming an organ or tissue donor. There may be a moral or ethical reason why a student chooses not to participate in this program. That's the moral dilemma. Why do we want to keep putting in these moral dilemmas? That should be taught in other arenas, but I see no reason they can't mention it in the driver ed class. Previous legislation, SB 300, Hancock Chapter 624, Statute 624, I'm trying to speed up here, Statutes of 2011 require the State Board of Education, SBE, to adopt revised science content standards by July 30, 2013, as specified. AB 1118, Perez, from 2011, which was held on the Assembly Appropriations Suspense File, would have required the Curriculum Development and Supplemental Materials Commission, turning the page here, CDSMC, and the State Board of Education, SBE, to ensure the health framework adopted in the course of the next submission cycle includes the subject of organ procurement and tissue donation in the instruction provided to pupils in grades 9 through 10. Well, I think grade 10 for driver ed is the answer, personally. That's where 90-some% of the kids take driver ed in 10th grade. A few get it in 9th grade, but only if they're older. For some reason, there is an age requirement for driver ed. Further, it would have required a school district, commencing with the 2012-13 school year, to provide pupils who are enrolled in health classes in grade 9 and 10 at least 15 minutes of instruction in organ procurement and tissue donation as specified. Well, yes, that's better than a whole chapter. Okay, and I hope it wouldn't be a whole chapter, that maybe it would be within a chapter of related material, but here again, there is related material in Driver Ed where that would fit. SB552 Padilla, or is he Padilla? He probably says Padilla. From 2009, which was held on the Assembly Appropriation Suspense File, required a school district beginning with 2010-11 school year that offers health classes to grade 9 and 10 pupils to provide at least 15 minutes of instruction on organ procurement and tissue donation. Here again, I think that should be Driver Ed. AB1132 Jones from 2009, which was vetoed by the governor, required the Department of Motor Vehicles to make information available about organ donation as part of the online vehicle registration renewal process. The governor vetoed the bill with the following message. While I fully support the Donate Life program, this bill would cap the amount of Department of Motor Vehicles can recover for its administrative costs under the program and removes the flexibility of the department to cover its future costs as inflation and other expenditures increase. In other words, it sounds to me like it would cost too much money to increase their curriculum, so to speak. So they're going to have the schools increase their amount of curriculum. AB 1972, Steinberg from 2004, was held on the Assembly Appropriation Suspense File, would have required at least 30 minutes of instruction regarding organ and tissue donation as part of the driver education course for grades 7 through 12. Well, here again, 15 minutes is fine. They don't need 30 minutes. I could do it in 10, and they'd know all they'd ever want to know, and they'd remember it. Okay, those registered in support are the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, Association of California School Administrators, Blood Centers of California, California Medical Association, California Transplant Donor Network, Donate Life California, Donate Life Florida, I don't know why they're here in California, Intermountain Donor Services, Lifeline of Ohio, why are they in on this? National Organization for Renal Disease, New York Alliance for Donation, why are they in on this? One Legacy, Renal Support Network, Sierra Donor Services, University of Wisconsin Organ Procurement Organization, why are they in on this? Many individuals. And opposition, California Right to Life. The analysis was prepared by Chelsea Kelly, ED. Okay, I know that was long and a bit belabored. But when you get into these things about education and law and changing curriculum, you have to cover as many of the points as possible and kind of discuss how it's going to impact schools and teachers and textbooks and curriculums. And my suggestion and recommendation as an educator for over 30 years who has taught all of these subjects in the high school curriculum recommends that if this is passed, that it would be for 15 minutes included in the driver ed curriculum. That would not even require a change of textbooks. They could just use the curriculum using their own resources or as supplied by appropriate sources. So that is my conclusion tonight for those three bills before the legislature in process. There is still time in most of these that I'm going to be discussing the next few months for you to contact the legislature and give them input. That's why I gave you the AB bill number and the author in each case, so you can contact the author. You can also contact the Education Committee. The chair is Julia Brownlee, Assembly Member from the 41st District. And there is an address here. You could send your letters to the State Capitol, the Assembly Committee on Education, Julia Brownlee, Chair, P.O. Box 942849, Sacramento, California 94249-0095. Again, that's State Capitol, P.O. Box 942849, Sacramento, California, 94249-0095. A phone number is 916-319-2087. A fax number is 916 319-2187. And the website is http://www.assembly.california.gov. assembly.ca.gov. So you can look up this information and you can write a letter as to your viewpoints on these bills. Now, the best is to go to these hearings and to speak, but we all can't do that. So in lieu of going to these hearings and speaking, send your letter with your opinion using support basis from what I've given you and what I wrote or read here today for you to understand the bill and to say why or why not that you support or oppose a bill. And you must give substantiation or reason. It's not really a good idea to just send and say, I disagree. They want to know why. They want a rationale. So let's help them have a rationale as to why to either pass or amend and pass these bills or vote down. And you can also, somewhere in the process here, when it gets close to where it goes to the governor, if it is passed, continue to write a letter in support of or opposition to a bill to the governor, because the governor has to sign it. So I hope that helps you in education. I don't know of anyone else in California who does this. In fact, I just started this new myself, just had this brainchild idea this week. So I'm hoping that people will use my first week of the month of my Wednesday night education shows to learn about the bills that are before the legislature in California. And eventually, maybe we can add this to the federal as well. But right now, we're starting with this and hope it will help for all of you who are trying to assure all our kids have a quality education, because all our kids do deserve a quality education. And with that, I'm going to say good night. We are so glad you're with us tonight. And we look forward to seeing all of you who are going to be English learning Thai next week. You can join us if you wish. We're reading in John. If you want to hear what Thai sounds like, you'll pick up some of that. But we look forward to being with you the first Wednesday night of each month regarding education issues. And I'm going to follow through with all of the 22 education bills before the legislature in the state of California. So stay tuned. See you for sure next month on the first Wednesday night of June, which is June 6th at 8 p.m. California time. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been my pleasure to share with you information and knowledge to help us make sure our kids get a quality education. Good night, and God bless. Diane Linning, your host. Good night. Take care. God bless you. I love you. We love our kids. Let's make sure they have a good future and that they pass forward.
Thank y'all very much for listening to us. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Night, doll.
On the guitar and with the vocals, Mr. Gintrow. On the guitar and the vocals. On the bass and with the vocals, Mr. Keith Mosley.